I'm about to talk for a little time about the rising of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a number of images on the screen. There is no age limit on this. But the first person to come up to me at the end of the service and tell me all of the images in the right order will have a chocolate reward this morning. A big chocolate reward this morning. Now, I don't want anyone distracted by that. So listen to the message as well as see the images. In the beginning, God made the world and put two people in the middle of a beautiful garden. But that garden is empty because the people turned away from God's plan and rejected him as their God and King. Soon, we are going to be looking at the book of Genesis in the next sermon series after the school holidays on the beginning on the 2nd of May. We'll be looking at the first 12 chapters of Genesis, beginning what will probably be a five-year sermon series, not constantly through, but we'll touch base in Genesis over the next 5 years. And we're going to explore God's plan. And we're going to see that what we notice today, that God's plan wasn't failing when people did wrong. God's promise wasn't broken. God knew what he was doing and shows us in his word. Because of God's great love, God made a plan to rescue people from what they had done, from his judgment at their wrongdoing. He gave them his love, his law, his presence. Presence, not presents. He gave them his law to show them that he is holy and what is the right thing to do. He gave them his law to remind them that for God to love them, he had to deal with all that they had done wrong. He gave them the Ark of the Covenant to show them that he was not who they thought he was. He gave them the Ark of the Covenant that he could be with them and they could be his people. He gave them the Ark of the Covenant so that they might meet with him and he might come among them. He gave them the temple to show them that he wanted to live in relationship with them and that they should center the whole of their lives on him. Right in the center of their universe. But, like back in the garden, the temple and the tabernacle are now empty. Eden is empty. The tabernacle is empty. The temple is empty. Because the people turned away from God's plan and rejected God as their king. But God's plan wasn't failing. God's promise wasn't broken. God knew what he was doing and shows us in his word. Because of God's great love for them, he gave them a king to rule over them. One king after another. To explain to them, although he gave them a king, a sign of his love to them, a sign that he was their true king and that these kings stood in God's place. But even the kings turned their hearts away from God and did what was right in their own eyes. And God sent prophets when he judged his people, when he disciplined them, to show that he still loved them and he had a plan for them. And he was working it all out in the detail of their lives. God showed the people that he built, that the garden he built at the beginning was the garden that he had meant for them to live in. But it was a sign of a future day that would be coming. He didn't only empty the garden of people. He didn't only empty the tabernacle and the temple of his presence. He also emptied the land of the people. He took the land away from the people so that they might know that God is holy. But God's plan wasn't failing. His promise wasn't broken. God knew what he was doing and shows us in his word. God allowed some of the people to return to the land and to kind of rebuild the temple, but it all felt empty. Then God did something outrageous and unexpected. He didn't send another messenger. He didn't give them another land or another law. He didn't give them another temple, a building. God became a baby. He came among them. The one who fills the whole universe filled a cradle, a manger in Bethlehem. God became human in Jesus. The one who had spoke the universe into being, learning to speak words for himself. The one who enwraps the whole universe, wrapped himself in humanity and filled this world as he filled the manger. It's what we celebrate at Christmas, this coming into this place. God becoming human, just like you and me, pinching flesh, feeling pain, being hungry and tired. He would have loved chocolate if he'd have had it. Jesus never tasted chocolate. Awful. But he didn't stay a baby. The cradle is empty. Because Jesus grew to become the man. The cradle is empty, like the Garden of Eden and tabernacle and temple and law, all emptied now because the cradle was full and is now empty. God became human in a tiny baby but didn't stay there. God's plan wasn't failing. His promise isn't broken. He is working it all out. God knows what he's doing, and he shows us in his word. This baby grew. And we know about the life of Jesus. We've been reading about it in the Gospel of Matthew over the last few months. And Matthew's Gospel and Mark's Gospel and Luke and John write to tell us the full story. Jesus filled the world with God's word and God's power. People were healed and freed and changed. People listened and believed and were transformed. Men and women were called to love Jesus, and many, many followed him. Until the night that he was betrayed. We've been thinking about those events this last week. Judas, his most closely trusted treasurer, kissed him in a garden for a few coin and betrayed Jesus to the authorities. Peter, the one who was the strongest, bravest, first of all of them to speak, was the first one to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah, was the first one of them to be called to follow Jesus. He was the first one of them to deny Jesus in a courtyard full of people. I do not know this man. But Jesus himself went to the cross. Events that we have been thinking about. Jesus filled the cross by giving his life, even though he had done nothing wrong. Jesus, in the most surprising miracle of all, filled himself up with all the emptiness of this world, all the rejection, all the pain, all the refusal to believe in God, all the refusal to do God things God's way. Jesus filled himself up with this world's brokenness and sin. Jesus filled himself up with God's judgment of our sin. And there on the cross, Jesus filled the universe with God's love and God's justice and God's judgment. God filled the cross in your place, in my place. Jesus filled the cross. Jesus was so full of the emptiness of this world that he emptied out the fullness of God's judgment on the world. On the cross, completely. "It is finished," he cried at the end. And so it was. And now the cross is empty, but God's plan isn't failing. God's promise isn't broken. God knew what he was doing and shows us in his word. Jesus' body filled the grave. just as sorrow filled the hearts of those who knew him most. Read those gospel accounts that Enos read to us today. Women coming in the early morning. As men had fled away from Jesus in his darkest hour, the women came in the darkness of the night to love him still. Full of the emptiness of a world without hope, they came mourning and grieving. They thought there was no hope left. Jesus' body was sealed in the tomb, and still God's plan wasn't failing. And his promise wasn't broken. God knew what he was doing, and he shows us in his word. Because the grave would be empty when they found it. Because of that first Easter Sunday, the grave that was full was suddenly empty. The grave that is, the cradle is empty, the cross is empty, the grave is now empty. And so the world is full. That first Easter Sunday transforms every empty space in this world to a place of hope and potential. Where the world is empty, it is ready for the fullness of Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead and appears in the garden to a woman who is broken and calls her by name. So any place you find yourself empty, broken, without hope, we can know that Jesus calls us by our name. Recognizing who we are and understanding what we've been through and where we're at and what we're like. There is no pretense before the risen Jesus. He is the one true God. Mary appears to Mary and tells her the wonderful news that the grave is empty and will stay empty forevermore. And every other grave that there has ever been will be emptied out too, because there is now a fullness for all people. If they will exchange their brokenness, their emptiness, for the fullness of Jesus, men and women, young and old. Whoever you are, whatever you're like, the fullness of Jesus can fill your life. The cradle is empty, the cross is empty, the grave is empty, and now the crown is full. Jesus reigns as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The passage we'll look at next week as we end our time in Matthew's gospel has Jesus saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He is the king. He is the one who reigns and rules. And next week we'll spend time looking at what happens next and what's happening now because of that. And today we celebrate that Jesus is the fullness of God's plan that never went wrong. He is the promise of God that will never again be broken. He is God's plan and purpose in this world for you and I. He's here, present. Our physical eyes do not see him. But in the eyes of faith, the eyes of our hearts, we can gaze on him, our risen King, and proclaim his glory. He is risen. Caught some of you unaware there. He is risen. And that's the message that we leave here today with. Jesus is risen. In our hearts, in our lives, in this world, he is risen and everything is different. We're going to celebrate that by taking communion together. This meal of the resurrected community. If you are alive in Christ this morning, the invite is to join in these symbols together. Marcus will lead us in communion after we've stood to sing this great Easter hymn. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Let's stand together and proclaim this great truth.